Hi, good morning, everyone. Let's open up in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father God, Lord, just want to thank you for this time of prayer and coming to your word, Lord God. I just pray for Holy Spirit to be with us this morning in our personal prayer time, and as I share your word today. I pray, Father God, Lord, that we have open hearts to receive, soft hearts to receive your word, that it's going to encourage us, Lord God. And that it would encourage us in terms of our walk with you and in terms of encouraging our closeness with you. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today's sharing is from Proverbs 21, 30 to 31. Proverbs 21, 30 to 31. Verse 30, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So as I've shared previously, I've been on this quest on how to make the most of my time. I remember that when I first became a Christian about 20 years ago now, I told God that I wanted to have a fulfilling life. I previously thought that a life full of achievements and gaining the respect of men is the life that has been lived well. But I soon realized that the more I strive towards this, the more it left a void in my heart. The satisfaction of accomplishing a particular achievement was more and more short-lived, and I soon found myself disappointed, discouraged, and very, very exhausted. It was not a life that was well-lived. And then a schoolmate from university invited me to a testimony sharing actually during Christmas season in 2004. And she said that as she was sharing, she said that, oh, after she met Jesus, her life was changed around and that her life became more fulfilling. I think something struck my heart that night when I heard the word fulfilling. I thought, that's the life that I really wanted. It would be a life worth fulfilling. A life worth living, a fulfilling life. However, as to how it looked, I had no idea. I just thought that perhaps it would give me a sense of satisfaction and contentment rather than pride, which made me feel like I'm one cut above the rest. So fast forward 20 years later, I got married, had my first career in law, and 3 kids later, time flew by even quicker. And I really wonder whether I've used my time well all these years. Especially after having kids, I feel like there's really no time to lose as I'm constantly racing against the clock. I'm at the stage where I'm about to enter into my 40s, whilst I'm also raising kids at a critical age that could shape and set them up for their adult life. But I also have elderly parents to take care of who are not getting any younger. So during the fast at the beginning of this year, I dived into Proverbs, which is one of the wisdom books, to help me get God's perspective on various things and also to help me make the right decision at the right time. There were many verses that spoke to me and challenged my thinking, and today I just wanted to share Proverbs 21, verses 30 to 31 this morning. So let's take a closer look at these verses. Verse 30, it says, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. So this verse right here just declares about God's sovereignty over all, no matter how good or bad the situation is. For some, this verse could be a deeply uncomfortable verse because it implies that no matter how hard we plan or try, God's plans and purposes still prevail. Indeed, it is said in Isaiah 55, 10 to 12, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So this means that apparently, no matter how much we plan or think we can change the situation, ultimately God has a plan and his purposes will be accomplished. So this effectively takes control out of our own hands, and for some of us, it's very unsettling, especially if we're trying to bring about a certain outcome which we don't want to surrender or leave to God. However, for some, this verse can also be very comforting, especially when the situation has already spun out of control and there is nothing much else that we can do about it. Ultimately, God, who is goodness, love, and righteousness will prevail. In Isaiah, it says that God's word is just like the rain and snow that come down from heaven to water the earth, to bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. His word is food for our soul, and his purposes bring life. It's not there to destroy us. So even if his purposes might be different from ours, we can trust that it is good for us and brings forth life in us. So we don't have to be scared that his purposes has taken over ours. But does that mean we just sit there and do nothing? Not at all. It says in Proverbs 24:30-34, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Clearly, if we neglect our duties and obligations, there will be natural consequences, like a house that is not kept well. Things will start to break, and the home will become disarrayed. So we can transfer this analogy to other things, like, for example, in our relationship with God. Whilst God's love for us is unconditional, and we don't need to do anything to gain his favor, but just like any other relationships, if we don't cultivate it and work on it, or nurture it, it won't be very healthy. It becomes vulnerable and easily broken. And just going back to the verses I just read, in verse 33 it says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. We all need a little sleep and a little slumber, because God knows that that's what we need. But the problem here isn't the rest. It's the laziness and the neglect of duty. What we're talking about here is not like a one-time folding of hands, but it's this continuous neglecting of duty, this continuous slothful attitude that culminates into poverty. So going back to our verse in Proverbs 21, verse 30, it doesn't mean that we simply sit there and do nothing. Rather, we do our part, but leave the results to God and say, not my will, but yours be done, as it says in Luke 22, verse 42. So this brings us to our next verse in verse 31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. As you know, in those days, horses are an important tool in warfare. I think horses in those days are kind of like tanks in today's modern warfare. However, I learned that these horses need to be highly trained in order for them to be effective in war. For example, different types of horses were trained to be used for different purposes. Some horses are trained to pull chariots, some are ridden by light cavalry, and some for an armored knight. They all need to be trained to overcome their natural instinct to flee from noise, the smell of blood, and the confusion of combat. They need to be trained to learn to accept any sudden or unusual movements of their human riders. Horses used in close combat will also be taught to kick, stride, and bite, and so they become weapons in themselves. So as you can imagine, much time, energy, and resources are invested in preparing these horses to be ready for battle. And when a lot of time is spent into preparing something, you're kind of like sucked into this black hole of, I need to perfect this, I need to put all my time and energy into this. And it's natural for us to think that whether we make or break depends on our human efforts. In preparation, and we can easily lose the big picture. However, it would be foolish to think that whether one wins in battle would depend solely on how well the horses are trained. Surely it would depend on a lot of factors which are both within and outside of our control, such as the competence and morale of the soldiers, how effective your ammunition is, the state of your enemy, or even maybe the weather. So this verse reminds us that no matter how well prepared we think we may be, the victory belongs to the Lord. The outcome completely belongs to God, because there's so many factors that are outside of our control. Yet are we then not to prepare at all? No, because as we saw previously, we are to do our part to the best of our ability and then surrender the outcome to God. Charles Bridges, which was one of the commentators I came across as I was preparing this message this morning, summarized this very well. He says, use the means, but do not idolize them. Those who put their trust in them will fall. Those who remember that their safety is in the Lord will stand upright. When it comes to spiritual warfare, it is even more important to exercise active faith and dependence on God. Ultimately, what God is really looking at is our hearts. Where do we put our ultimate trust in? Sometimes we can get lost in our own plans and effort and work, especially when we have spent day and night on it. But this verse reminds us that God's got our backs. He's sovereign, and victory ultimately belongs to him. So looking closely at these verses also reminded me of Psalm 20, verse 7, which was an anchor verse in one season of my life, and it still is. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Just to share like the context related to this verse, so the year was 2014, and Jackie was switching out from being a solicitor to becoming a pastor at the time. So the main difference between the two is that a solicitor is salaried, whereas a barrister earns their work's wages. So in other words, one has certainty and the other one doesn't really. So in the first year of training, as a barristers back then, trainees don't receive any money. So for a whole year, he didn't get paid, and we don't know whether at the end of his training, whether he will have any, you know, any work afterwards. So basically, trainee barristers are free labor. And we just had our first kid back then, and Jackie was applying for a permanent placement as his training was coming to an end. It was a particularly stressful time, because we just had our first kids, and then he's still navigating this new career path. And also, choosing the right set is important, because it could determine how much work you get afterwards. So, of course, he was aiming for like the big, well-known sets. In fact, a lot of barristers actually are in the red after a few years of practicing and have to switch out to other salaried roles. So in the end, he was offered a place at a medium-sized set without a particularly shiny reputation. So that was his first chambers that he worked at. And as we were praying through it, I got this verse, which was the verse in Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So applying that to our situation, some would trust in the chamber's name, in its reputation, which pupil master you worked under. But God said that his work will come through the Lord our God. After we came across this verse and felt like God has spoken to us, both of our hearts were settled. And whenever we felt like he was in a dry season for work, we would always come back to this verse. It's been 10 years now since he embarked on this career change, and God has been most faithful to us. He's never had any unpaid bills from clients and was never in the red. There was always enough to cover work and family expenses and then some more as well. Of course, he has to work hard, but in this fallen world, the effort that you put in is not necessarily proportionate to the results that you get. So what do we do? So we come back to the loving arms and promises of God, that victory belongs to the Lord, and we trust in the name of the Lord our God and not in horses and chariots. So just to summarize the different verses that we have looked through, that first is that God is sovereign. No plans, no matter how good or bad, can at the end of the day avail against the Lord's plans and his purposes. While we do our best to ready our horses for battle, we do not idolize it, but we idolize God alone. For he ultimately is the one who brings victory. So as we go into a time of worship, and if Sydney can come up to the stage, perhaps we could all reflect on these verses as well. And we can ask ourselves, is there anything in our lives that we are obsessing over, trying too hard to bring about a particular result that we're unable to surrender to God? That might be a sign of idolatry. Perhaps it's a job application or your kids' school applications or work project or a particular lifestyle, just whatever. Like it could be anything really if it usurps God's position in your life. So the antidote to that are these verses. Take comfort that God is sovereign and that it is foolish to think that whether we can win a battle or not is based on how prepared our horses are. Instead, victory ultimately belongs to God. So let's come before the Lord if there are any such burdens that we need to lay down. Yes, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. And I just really pray that these verses will give us comfort, especially when we have to navigate the different challenges of life, Lord God, that we take comfort in ultimately you are in control, Lord God. And, if there's anything that during this time of reflection that you revealed in our hearts, that there are things that we need to surrender and lay it down, I pray for Holy Spirit to be working in our hearts because that is good for us, Lord God, and that when we decrease, you will increase. So, Lord God, I just pray for our church members this morning that they will grow closer to you and that they will continue on about their day with you by their side. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's come forward for a time of corporate prayer. So I think we were praying for the lead pastor's retreat. I think they had a good time. Kenny, praise God. Okay, everyone, travel mercy. So yeah, let's maybe first off, maybe we can thank God for a good time for the pastors, that they are all refreshed and ready to go back to their church plans to lead their respective churches. So maybe in connection with that, we can also lift up the church plans that they're leading as well. We pray especially for protection over SPSH and SPBJ. Pray for their families and Chloe and Steph as well as they support their husbands in terms of taking care of the family and also, you know, having an important role in their churches. Also pray for wisdom to all lead pastors to lead their respective church plans. So let's also lift up Hazel. There's a latest update as well. So praise God that as per the blood test, one marker has improved and the other one more or less has remained steady. So in addition to the oral treatment, since the last update, the doctor added another target therapy drug alongside the immunotherapy treatment on Thursday. So reports aside, Hazel is in good disposition. Her appetite has improved and improving strength and mobility. So the prayer requests are, let's continue to strengthen Hazel's immune system, pray for restoration of physical strength and mobility, and continue the manifestation of his miraculous healing. So let's lift up Hazel, Andrew, and their son as well. we continue lift up Addie for her kidneys to spring back into action, for full healing in the name of Jesus, and also continue for strength and faith for the whole Wong family as they continue to care for Addie and also now taking care of four kids as well. Let's also lift up Hong Kong. Lord, we pray for John Lee and all the government officials to administer wise policies, especially regarding the needy in our community, in our city. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really infiltrate in those important meetings that will impact the policies that will affect the city. As we know, the fast is also coming up next month, so let's pray for our congregation. I mean, for those who've been here for a while, I mean, we hear the message quite a bit. So, I think let's pray that God will, for those who have done it for a number of years now, that God will refresh us. For those who are on the fence, are maybe a bit scared of what this is about, let the Holy Spirit convict them so that, that this time of setting apart to meet with God will really be a really precious and sweet time for all. So let's lift up our church.